Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens. Listen to the exciting story of the American Community Schools of Athens. Check out what drives all the members of our international community of learners as we create the education of the future. Here's John Papadakis.
Many say that schools prepare students for jobs that do not yet exist, with skills that have not been defined yet, and with tools that sometimes are irrelevant. The idea of inspiring excitement and hope for an unknown future is probably the biggest challenge for educators, especially as they deal with adolescents with all their growing pains as they grow physically and mentally. Every year, we look forward to the graduating class college placement as if to peer through our community achievements that validate the very existence of the high school academic, athletic, extracurricular, and other programs. Every year, we try to define and evaluate the level of effort of the entire community, and one metric, of course, is the success of our students being admitted to their college of choice. In today's student and college edition of the Owlcast, we're happy to talk with a talented group of such students, each one from a diverse background and with different goals. Their common thread is that they have all secured admission to their college of choice with distinctions and scholarships. As these admissions usually come early, it's only fitting to highlight at this point this achievement that comes after hard work, focus and dedication to a goal, although this sometimes has not been very clear or defined. Two of their counselors also join us to discuss this process and shed some light on the sometimes obscure college application process that they had to guide these students through. Maria Laiou, Academy Counselor, and Stelios Kalogridakis, Middle School and Academy Counselor, are with us today, along with Angeliki Ziaka, who's admitted at the University of San Francisco, Lydia Hatira, who's admitted at Harvard University, Danielle Rohan, who's admitted at Emerson University and King's College, and Eva Karagu, who's admitted among other schools at Northeastern University London, University of Arts in London, and Illinois Institute of Technology. With our guests today, we discuss, it's all a matter of decisions, even if you can't make one yet. How do you combine the passion for baking with that of artificial intelligence? Being the sounding board for students expressing their intentions for the future. The challenge of balancing athletics and extracurriculars with academic excellence. The risk of pursuing college scholarships while being an Academy Scholarship recipient. Managing expectations and giving advice to future graduates. And at the end, it's all about finding and following your passion.
We're here with four of our seniors here at ACS, Angeliki Ziaka, Lydia Hatira, Danielle Rohan, and Eva Karagu. So I've worked with two of our seniors the last 4 years, and I've had Eva in the middle school. Danielle, it's a pleasure to meet you. And what we're gonna do today is we're gonna talk a little bit about the journey our girls have had here at ACS and what it took to get to the success that they've had as seniors in their college applications.
Very excited to be here as well. Thank you all for joining us today, our four amazing seniors. We look forward to hearing about your journeys to get you here, and we want to know about the passions that led you to choose these majors and to choose the schools that you decided to go to.
Hi, I'm Danielle. I kind of had always a passion for writing and also the arts, but before that, I was very into math and science, so I was very split up. But as I grew older into high school, I was kind of pushed more into the path of the arts, which made me want to study journalism and also the media field. I also wasn't sure if I wanted to go to the US or to the UK, so I had to also apply to both, and now I have the option to go to either one. And yeah.
Hi, my name is Lydia. I've been in the school for 4 years now, and I think I don't really have a major decided yet. At the beginning of high school, I was thinking of something science related, but right now I'm not really sure. I've been thinking of journalism as well. But the good thing is that with the US, you have the opportunity to decide on the second year of in college. So I think it's a good opportunity for me to see what I really like and then decide what's best for me and what I really enjoy.
The most common major, undecided.
Undecided, yep. Exactly.
Yeah, I think I was lucky enough to know what I want to do for like a major from an early age. So psychology was on my mind from like middle school. And also sports was in my life from early age. So I didn't have some issues that some many students have to like decide what I'm going to do and what is the best major for me. So I was lucky in that way.
How many years have you been here?
I've been here for 4 years in ACS.
Hi, my name is Eva. I've been in ACS since seventh grade. As for my passions, I'm really passionate about baking and artificial intelligence. That's why I applied actually for both. I couldn't decide in one, and the pressure was too much because you might think that one can be just a hobby. And that's what I've been told all my life, that baking can only be a hobby. But after getting along with people that love baking, I actually saw the other side and how it can be actually be pursued as a career. And now I actually have the opportunity to do both. And this is the part that I'm still kind of undecided because I can't decide between the two.
So I guess the whole discussion is about decisions. And what kind of mentality a student and the counselors must have to, first of all, express your opinion, express your direction or your potential, and then, of course, someone to guide you through it. So I guess my first question is for the counselors. You know these students for as long as they're here, and you had experience with other students throughout the years. Why do you think this is as important a function for someone in the administrative part of a school? We do know that there are schools that there is no such a thing as an advisor or a counselor or a college advisor. What was your role?
So besides that, they're great students.
Besides that,
exceptionally talented.
So I think that what the significance, let's say, of our role is that they have a sounding board. So they tell us what it is that they're thinking, and they tell us about the things that they would like to do. We see their talents because all of these students, and that's something that we would like to hear from them also, is about all the extracurricular involvement that they've all had and the things that they've all been doing parallel to their studies that sort of swayed them toward the direction that they went in. But I mean, I've worked with Danielle. And I can tell you that in a meeting that we had over the summer, she's so talented and she's so smart and she's very good in everything. Like she didn't just have one thing that she was really good at. So she was really good in the sciences and she was really good at math. So she was initially going into higher level math. But then when she saw where really she was headed, that's where our part comes in to say, okay, here's what you can do. Maybe let go of higher level math. She chose 4 higher level topics instead of 3. Okay, can you handle that? She could. So we let that happen. It's something when a student comes and says, I want to take 4 higher levels, and we see that they're struggling, that's where we're also going to come in and say, well, let's take a look again. Do you really need those 4? No, let's focus on the 3 that are really necessary. So I think initially it's that we're their sounding board. So they'll come at us with what they want and what it is that they're passionate about. And then we will try to filter that and see, kind of piece things together and help them put their puzzle together.
Is the academics the main way of securing a college admission or a college scholarship? According to what you're explaining, you're talking about their academic excellence.
Not only academics.
The whole picture, yeah. I'd say. Like, but for me, if you rewind 4 years ago and getting to know Liliana Gilki, coming from the Greek educational system, totally foreign to what we have here at ACS. And I had a great opportunity to see them grow throughout. In this case, we had to make sure we were able to balance the extracurriculars because they have such a heavy load, a practice load and a game load outside of school. with the academic part. Exceptional students, great mm-hmm. characters. And that's where we worked together, especially around the spring of 10th grade, where we started collecting video footage as well. And also pinpointing and making sure their programs, their academic programs, was right for them entering 11th and 12th grade, pivotal years when you start looking at what universities you want to attempt.
So regarding the experience of applying to a university, regarding the experience of preparing to apply to the university, can you think back? I mean, you have already secured some scholarships and you have already secured admission to some colleges. Now, if you go to that college or the other, that's a different discussion, but you know that you're going somewhere. So can you think back in this process and see what was your biggest challenge through this process?
So for me, it was, I think, a little different than the other students because I had to make sure that my academics and my basketball was at the same level. Like, I couldn't say that I'm going to focus on my academics and leave basketball or leave my academics and focus on basketball these years. So I had to make sure that I organize my time correctly and I focus on both things so that I have the opportunity to go somewhere in a good place with good academics and a good basketball program. So that was the most challenging part for me, that I had to manage and kind of balance both of these things.
I agree with Agilki because I kind of went the same process with her.
So you're both student athletes?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think I agree that was the most challenging part of balancing those two. But I think for me and Agilki, because I think I'm talking about her as well, we had a different risk from other people because we also came here in the school with scholarship. And in order then to go to the States and play basketball, we also had to get a scholarship there. So I think it was kind of a risk of whether you're going to get it, because it's not really that you're applying. It's basically if the coaches are going to see you and they're going to want you in their team. So I think as a part of challenges, I would say that it was a big risk of coming here. We had to balance those things. We have to be good students because you can't be good to only basketball or only academics. You have to have both, as Agiliki said. And I think the most challenging thing was also to be aware, let's say, that you may not you may not get it, the scholarship or something. So,
okay.
For me, I also had some trouble with balancing everything. And that's also choosing the right extracurriculars for me, because I felt like I had to do everything, which in a way I did want to have a part of me in every subject. So I did football, I did student council, I did IB council, NHS. And I still had to maintain an artistic background outside of school while still maintaining my academics. And that was also a struggle for me within the application, because then I had to choose what was important to talk about and what wasn't important to talk about and what should I leave out. So for me, that was a huge struggle, as well as choosing the right universities for me, which is what I got help from the counselors from. And Ms. Layu really helped me or guided me towards the right schools and the right programs that might fit what I like best.
I kind of agree with everyone, because honestly, from middle school coming into an American institution, I had the opportunity that I didn't have in my previous school to do many things, to experience what a TED club, what a debate club is, to try to do forensics, to do so many things. And then high school comes in and you have to narrow down your choices, something that I decided to ignore and totally ignore everyone's advice to pick just two things to do after school, because honestly, it was making me happy. So after and having to decide a college and to actually understand what I have to put on paper was the most difficult part for me, because I had to portray the best picture of who I am. Because honestly, a teacher can say to you, you're a good student, we really like you in class, but will they actually understand that I am one? Will they actually understand that not only am I good in paper, but I'm actually good as a person? So for me, that was the most challenging, because I was afraid that they won't see me for who I am. And if I get a rejection, it'll be because I didn't present myself as me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the applications and choosing and all that and the grades, okay, they're going to look at the grades and they'll look at their co-curriculars, but that writing, because they're, these kids are more than what's on paper. Their writing is really indicative of who they are. And that's why it's so important. And that's why you see that the greatest successes that we see are those kids that have really taken the time to process and put down on paper who they are and what they want these schools to know. Because that's how they also achieve that amazing connection, right? So they get into the right school, studying the right thing. And then they come out and they're just amazing. And that's what universities are looking for. They're looking for future alumni. So when they see these kids, that's what they're reading.
It's one thing to get in the university, another thing to graduate.
Exactly.
So I guess we have obviously a very talented group of students here. But my question to the counselors, to Stelio and Maria, have you seen, not in this group particularly, but in general, have you seen students who pivot 180 degrees? They've said, I'm going to go do this. And in the middle of the road, they say, it's not 100% what I was wanting, but do I have an option? How do you guide these students? How do you talk to them? How do you confront this uncertainty?
We have seen that. And to be honest with you, we're glad that it happens now. Mm-hmm. Once you enter the university and you try to pivot, then that makes things a little bit more difficult. Some people say, oh, I have to start all over again.
Especially in Europe.
Depending
in
on the Europe, program, yes. Correctly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we actually welcome these things because that way it eliminates something. It eliminates some of the uncertainty.
How late has this happened?
What's senior year?
Senior year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Senior year, the deadline.
The good thing, like Lydia said, is the U.S. system is more malleable and lenient mm-hmm. with that and allows you to be open-minded. I've had a student... he got into an Ivy League school in New York and then math sciences, and then he decided to do Japanese literature. So, you know, so you can see the change, and it allows you, the program allows you to do that because you have that year and a half, almost 2 years to try things out. And, you know, the girls will see that. But I want to say about this group, I don't know you very well, Danielle, but I can tell with the other girls, the opportunity is there and they seized it. They seized it from the beginning, especially Liliana Gilki coming from the Greek system, and it was there. And from the moment they were in ninth grade, they made a goal and they said, this is what I want, this is what I want to do. It's not an easy thing and it's a rare thing as well. So I'm glad we have all you mm-hmm. successful applicants here.
You are listening to the Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens.
Going back to the mm-hmm. to the students, definitely what your counselors are saying is true to all students. But because we have high expectations in general as a school for ourselves, our families, how do you manage these expectations? What do you say to people who say, oh, you could have done better? Or, you know what? I didn't expect you to do this. I thought that, you know, how do you manage expectations?
So to expectations, I would say I would kind of try to ignore them sometimes because I put a lot of expectations to myself. Like when I see all of these things on my calendar, I have an expectation of what I'm going to do. And then I stop and pause time and think, well, that expectation actually going to make me happy? Because honestly, what I've realized after going through a very vigorous system and doing and putting even more pressure to myself with doing so many things, at the end of the day, all the things that I did, they made me happy. So if an expectation doesn't make me happy, for me, it doesn't count as an expectation.
Personally, I believe that these expectations that may come from your teachers first or your counselors, it really first comes from yourself, because I think those expectations, you set them upon yourself first. You say, for example, I want to be a student athlete. I want to get a scholarship, let's say, or something like that. It's not that the teacher is going to come to you and say, you know what? You're going to be a student athlete. You're going to do so many extracurricular activities. So I think first, you're the one who puts expectations on yourself because you want to do it. You have a passion, let's say, for something. And then the teachers see you. And of course, they believe in you. You're their students. I think you can manage those expectations because you're the one who wants to achieve them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important focusing on the things you actually like to do and not like what other people, your parents or your teachers, like say you have to do that, or it's important that you take this course or the other course. If you don't actually want to do that and like focus on the things you do, I think it's not going to work at the end of the day, because you're going to get drained, you're going to get tired. And when you go to college, or you're not going to do the things that you're going to write on your essays or you like on your CVs, you're not going to do the same things. So you're not going to be the same person. And I think that's not the point. The point is to do the things you love and spend your time doing things you actually like doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree. As well, those expectations kind of guided me towards the major that I liked, because being good at math and science, I think my family kind of expected me to become a doctor or go into medicine. And then I sat down and really had to think about it when the time came, junior year, like I had to find the major that I liked. And researching all the medical majors, and I was also thinking about architecture, I found out and I realized that I liked the arts and I liked journalism. So those expectations kind of pushed me towards a totally different expectation. And that built a whole new realm for me. Mm-hmm. And I had to balance everything again from the beginning. And it wasn't exactly restarting. It was just rewiring the expectations towards a different goal.
And for the counselors, what are the ways that you're trying to help them manage these expectations?
I think what's important for us to remember as the adults in the group, right, the counselors and the teachers and the parents, we need our expectations to match our student. So not every student should have the same expectations. Mm-hmm. So we need to see where our students are at, meet them where they're at, and encourage them to achieve to the best of their ability. Not every student's best is an A. There might be a student whose best, absolute best, is a B or a C+.
And show that's their fine. Character through that.
Exactly.
And that's why you have so many options to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Because one college could be perfect for one.
Yep.
And not the absolute perfect for the next.
Exactly.
So regarding the students that are the athletes, the student athletes, Stelios, you have been the advisor for these students and guiding them towards that process. What do you think made the difference in their road towards securing scholarships and admission in the colleges that they did?
Mm. Well, first and foremost, academics. You know, the grades were where they needed to be and above as well. So we had that for us already. And that opened up many doors. In the case of Lydia, it's not an athletic scholarship. It's a scholarship. And being, I'd say, patient, because this process takes a while. We are unfortunately an ocean away. And when it comes to basketball, especially women's basketball, it's a very competitive sport. And we had to get the girls out there. And luckily we started early, the spring of 10th grade. And they kept the vision and the goal in their mind throughout. And they've shined through. They've been great here locally, nationally, and hopefully in the future, NCAA-wise.
Excellent. So you mentioned 10th grade. So I guess 10th grade is a critical year, right?
Every grade is an important grade.
It is important.
Starting from 9th grade, and this is for real, for college, 9th grade, your grades are going to count, your extracurriculars are going to count, everything else. And we do often say that it's 10th grade where it starts, but it's not.
I have to put a benchmark, because I can start from kindergarten when you start learning the language.
But that's the...
That's not the point I'm trying to make. What I'm trying to make here is that you are seniors now, okay? Next year, you're going to be somewhere else. You're in front of a class of 10th graders. You don't know if they're going to be good student athletes. You don't know if they're going to be math-oriented or science or art. Based on your experience, put a student in your mind right now. What would you advise them? What would you tell them to inspire them, or to tell them, you know what, take it easy?
A ninth grader.
Ninth grader.
Let's do that.
It's
got to
be ninth.
So what do you think? What would you tell them?
Okay, so I moved to Greece in 10th grade, and I still didn't know really what I wanted. I was stuck between so many choices and I was very stressed out. And I think looking back now, I would tell a 10th grader that it's okay if you don't really know what you want to do right now, because you're still 14 or 15 and it's still a young age to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. So it's okay to not know that exactly right now. But an advice I would give is still work hard academically and still maintain your extracurriculars, especially if you want to aim to a higher university, because they, even though you might not think of it right now, they do look at that. They do look at your 9th grade and they do look at your 10th grade. So it is important to maintain that. And even if you don't know what you want, sooner or later you will have a smaller idea of what you want to do moving forward. Because as you grow up, you kind of find out your interests along the way and they become clearer as you grow up, as it did for me and I'm sure with others as well. So yeah, it's okay if you don't know exactly what you want to do, but just keep working hard and keep maintain a goal for yourself.
Is this how you felt when you were 9th or 10th?
No. I felt very lost personally when I was in 9th or 10th grade. I didn't really know what I had no idea what I wanted. And
was there suggestions from people around you that you need to know?
Yes, there were. There were a lot of people who pushed me into medicine or architecture, or I wanted to be a mathematician at one point and I turned out to be in something completely different. So
okay, great.
Something I wanted to add. We're very lucky that we're in the school, because I came from a public grade school. And basically the system is that when you, let's say you're a junior, you have to decide what your major is going to be. And
we're talking about 11th graders.
Yes, exactly.
Leftera Likiu.
Leftera Likiu, exactly. Okay. And I think it's really important for us that we're here, because for example, for myself, I don't know what I want to do. I really don't know what my major is going to be. All I know is
still, yes.
All I know is that I want to play basketball, but you have to have a plan B or something else. So I really don't know yet. And I think that an advice that I would give is exactly what Danielle said, that do whatever you want and what you actually enjoy. Don't just go somewhere because your parents say so, or because you think it's something that is good for you. And be patient. And I think when you get into 9th grade, like, start studying, not too much, just do the things that you're required to do and study for the things that you actually enjoy and that you know that you're gonna want to pursue in the future.
I'm gonna say something more generic. I think that the universe has a weird way of putting everyone in the right path at some point.
The philosopher of the group now.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Yeah, I don't know. This year, I really think about it, because I believe that everyone has their own journey and their own way of thinking. So I believe that the universe, at some point, it's going to put you in the right place. So you just have to be patient, keep doing the things that you love and you like in your life, and you're gonna be okay.
Great.
Yeah,
and adding up to that, I really totally agree with Angeliki, and because as a 9th grader, you really don't know what you want to be, and you might have an idea, but you really are not sure what the process is, what does it look like in the future. And I know many people, and I've seen, like, even now 9th graders, their parents are pushing them more to go to, for example, see a representative from that type of and that name of an Ivy League college, but they really do not know even what life looks like being in that university, being under those conditions. So what I would suggest is, since even from 9th grade, you really have so many choices into choosing the classes you want to have, and even coming up with IB later on, you have the choices of choosing between classes and between totally different subjects. Well, what I would suggest is to choose a bunch of the ones that you really like. In doing so, you can actually start narrowing down the choices of what you want to be in the future. Because, for example, if you know that even for a glimpse of time, math gives you a bit more happiness, then go for it, do it. Many people might not even know what gives them that glimpse of happiness, but having and trying those different electives really helps you, in my opinion at least, to narrow down what you like. And if you know what you like, then you make the process easier and calmer, in a sense, for you.
I think you wrapped it up really nicely, but I have still one question. You just mentioned that you don't know what's going to happen in the next year or two. I would say we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And what we say in schools is that we're preparing students for a world that we don't know how it's going to be. And whether the knowledge that you are getting and the skills that you're getting, if they're going to be relevant. So I'm going to try to coax you to project yourselves in the next 5 years. Can you see yourselves in 5 years? I'm not telling you a decade, five. Could you project and see yourself there? Where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing?
That's a difficult question.
Very.
I can tell the one guarantee for college graduates.
Yes.
For the first degree.
Yes.
There you go. But that's the point. That's why I said five and not four.
I don't know. I don't like this question because I don't know. Tomorrow I may not want to play basketball anymore, or maybe
I'm saying your projection for yourself. I'm not saying what you're going to be. It's like what you project yourself to be. So it might happen, might not happen, but what do you wish to be?
Happy.
Yeah. Happy. Yes. Hopefully happy.
Yeah. It's like, okay question over here.
Yeah, very. Like waking up and, you know, smiling. That's what I want.
Happy for your choices.
Yeah, hopefully.
I kind of want to say to be satisfied with my past choices and happy, obviously. But I think, I don't know, because in 5 years, you don't know who you're going to be. You may have changed completely. You never know. So I guess I'm hoping that I would still be myself, but like more developed in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Successful. Hopefully.
Okay, that's a big discussion now. What do you mean by success? But that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take your word for it. Okay. And lastly, for our counselors here, having worked with these students this year, what would you think you're going to keep in your practice, in your day-to-day practice working with students, and what you think is going to evolve or change or make it different for next year?
It's always different, right?
For each student, yeah.
Every student case. Is different.
And but it's the drive and the determination that I saw from these two girls in particular, from day one, September 9th grade, COVID year. They were here, they were ready. They had a set goal and plan, which is rare. You don't see that in many students. And part of it played the scholarship that they got here in our school. So the drive determination will stay with me. So good job, girls. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. This whole class came out of a lot. They had a lot on their plate starting out in high school. And high school is hard enough without a pandemic breathing down your neck. So these kids are very resilient. So this determination and this resilience is something that was very impressive with this group of students, and how much they were very open to discussion, though, also because of that. You know, they didn't have a one-track mind. So I think that was also really, really cool this year, is that they were open to talking about other options, and they really understand that, you know, getting from point A to B is not always a straight line. Mm-hmm. And these kids really, really have that inside of them because of everything that they've been through. So I think that's something we have to
hold on to. Word I was looking for, resilience, because it's true. You know, this is the first, I don't want to say COVID class, but in a sense, you started during the COVID year. So kudos to everybody. I'd like to congratulate Angeliki and Lydia and Danielle and Eva for doing the best that they could and for inspiring the next classes of what you have achieved, and the two counselors who have guided you through the years. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens. Make sure you subscribe to the Owlcast on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. This has been a production of the ACS Athens Media Studio.